you know, there's a reason why I'm playing this music today, and it's quite apt, because I've got to admit, whenever I see pictures of Keith now with remnants of a beard and long hair, I always think of him as being a big old American wrestler. And one of the ones... Who's the guy that I compare you to, Keith?
Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
That's the one.
as soon as you mentioned it, mate, I thought, here we go.
The sad thing is that we're talking about WWE, WWF, and it's kind of sad today because obviously there's a guy called Sean O'Hare. I didn't really pay much attention to him because I haven't watched wrestling since probably about 10 years because my son was really, really into the American wrestling.
Yeah.
But there's another guy that sadly lost his life today that they don't know how, but he was only 43 years old.
Yeah, sadly they do tend to go young, mate, don't they?
And there's a long list of American wrestlers that have gone in tragic circumstances.
You had the British Bulldog. He was British, mate, wasn't he?
He was. I don't remember. I think it was drugs, wasn't it?
Well, steroids, isn't it? Dave, used to build the body up, isn't it, mate?
Dave Boy Smith.
That's the one.
And we would have seen him on the British TV, weren't we, back in the 1980s?
Yeah, it was the WWF, wasn't it?
He then went over and got married to... Well, he got involved with the Hart Foundation as Brett the Hitman Hart's family.
And I think one of those is gone, mate.
I think there's been a few of them. Brett supposedly had a stroke, so he's not very good down one side.
Yeah.
But his younger brother, oh, crikey, what was his name? Blonde-haired chap.
Yeah.
He changed his name many, many times. I think he called himself the Anvil. And then he was like a kid's character, and he came in via some kind of... what do they call it when you go down some kind of metal string type thing? They used to have them down at Robin Hill.
Scramble nets, yeah.
He came in on one of those type things, and the thing snapped. And I think he broke his neck and died in the middle of the ring.
Oh, crikey, mate.
Tragic. Yeah. Absolutely tragic. That was a heart, but I can't remember what his name was.
A good comparison, mate, is, you know I look quite good for my age, don't I? You know, I'm 58.
Yeah, yeah.
But look at Hulk Hogan, and he's only a year younger than me.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Because he looks... I mean, he's still...
I think he's 57, mate.
I mean, he's still got... You know, he's still fit, as you like.
Yeah.
But he looks as old as the hills now.
He does, but he looks like a very old leather sofa.
Perhaps he could do an advert.
For DFS.
DFS, yeah. So we were talking to Bob Wells earlier on. Bob Wells followed wrestling back in the 1980s.
Yeah.
And, you know...
Well, it goes back way before that, mate, doesn't it?
It does.
British wrestling, yeah. British wrestling.
And my mum used to... Because they used to have wrestling here on the island... Back in the 1960s, 70s, they used to have a couple of cinemas, and she always remembers Mick McManus.
Yeah, Mick McManus. He opened a pub down in, I think it was Woking.
Oh, right.
Or was it, yeah, Woking or Wokingham, one of the two. I know he had a pub down that way.
Who was the bloke that used to headbutt?
Oh, that was Kendo Nagasaki, wasn't it?
Is it him? Doesn't ring a bell. No, he started off...
Well, Kendo Nagasaki... He was Kendo Nagasaki, and he was also another one, Unmasked. I can't think who the other one was he played.
Well, there was a black guy. What was his name? Back in the 1970s, it would have been.
Oh, crikey, mate, you got me now. Yeah, he used to get on his knees in the ring, didn't he? Yeah.
Oh, crikey. She used to say he used to smell. That's what she would say, because they were all obviously very sweaty when they got in the ring.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But there was...
Thinking about it, though, I don't think we lost any British wrestlers that way, did we? Like the Americans. Well, I say Davey Boy Smith went, but...
he's the only one that I can think of that we lost in tragic circumstances, because most of these wrestlers, I'm just looking down, the guy's name was Owen Hart.
That's right.
And he went crikey 15 years ago, and I can't believe how long ago it was, but he
Do you remember the Bushwhackers?
The Bushwhackers, yeah, I do remember them.
But they used to come on.
Their arms used to be above their head, and they were crazy.
Yeah, Bushwhackers.
Because there's so many household names here, and you know, if I was to chuck out
The Undertaker.
Well, do you know what? As I was scrolling down, as you mentioned The Undertaker, and I thought, cool, that looks like a fat Undertaker. It's not. It's Giant Haystacks.
Yes.
We lost him in 1998. I would imagine that was kind of possibly natural causes, because he was a big old bloke.
Yeah, I should imagine that was age-related, I should think.
What was he, about 30-odd stone, wasn't he?
Yeah, Oh, crikey, yeah. He's a big lad. He's a big lad.
There's another
one, going back to The Undertaker. Do you remember Paul Bearer that used to have the urn?
He died recently.
Yeah, he's gone, mate. Yeah, he's gone.
He died recently. He was the guy that used to... My Undertaker!
That's the one.
Got him. How irritating was he? But The Undertaker's still going.
Yeah.
His
famous tackling thing was called the Tombstone, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, the Tombstone Pile Drive.
That's it.
Yeah, it was. I was gonna.
Another one that's gone is Randy Savage.
Yeah, I saw that, and the Ultimate Warrior
as
well.
The Ultimate Warrior, he's gone.
The Ultimate Warrior went earlier this year.
Yeah.
Hang on a sec there, Keith. I just need to see who's on the other line. Hi, who's this?
Afternoon, me old pickle chaser.
It's me old mate, Uncle Arthur.
Yes.
Hang on a sec there, Uncle Arthur. We're just in the process of sorting out Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Well, I was going to give Keith the answer. It's Kung Fu.
That's it.
He had red eyes.
Yes.
Who was Kung Fu then?
Who was the black bloke, mate? Not being racist or nothing, but...
Johnny Quango!
That's it.
Yeah, just come to me in a flash of inspiration.
Johnny Quango. That's the one. And of course, we've got to mention Kent Walton, haven't we?
He was great.
Yeah, the commentator.
He was the commentator, yeah.
I remember seeing a clip on YouTube where he got attacked by a woman with a handbag.
Yeah.
Yeah, she attacked the actual commentator. Yeah, I don't know why.
What about Big Daddy, Keith?
Sorry?
Big Daddy.
That's Shirley Crabtree.
Crabtree, and his brother was the referee, wasn't he?
That's right, yeah, yeah. How are you, Arthur, anyway, all right?
I'm all right, mate. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Yeah, getting there, mate, getting there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're back in the land of the living.
Sort of.
It's a big...
Operated by drugs, mate. Yeah.
You're not singing under the stairs at the moment.
No, not at the moment, mate.
You're like me. You can only perform in the smallest room in the house.
That's right, yeah, or the shower. Yeah, that's very true, mate. Ian?
Yes.
That band
I reckon you'd have made a good wrestler.
Who's that?
You'd have made a good wrestler.
Me?
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't have thought so, mate. There were some good ones in there, though, weren't there?
There was. Oh, Shirley Crabtree, sadly.
Jackie Palo.
He was the one that with a big little ponytail, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah, and striped trunks.
He used to wear red and white trunks.
That's it. Striped one, or something, if I remember rightly.
He came from Highbury.
So what is it about American wrestlers then? Because, say, the...
Steroids.
Is that what it is, a steroids, you think?
Well, look at the bodies, mate, compared to our wrestlers.
Because there was one guy, was it Chris Benoit, a couple of years ago?
He murdered his wife, didn't he?
He did, he murdered his wife and child, I believe.
Yeah,
it was
really
a tragedy. But this guy was so super fit. He was about 5'5", but he was just so incredibly solid. And you think, okay, but there were so many other people that have done more or less the same sort of thing. You know, it's the steroids. Does it interfere with their brains, do you think, or not?
I don't know, mate. I should imagine it just kills the body off, mate, doesn't it? The vital organs. It was the British one that was, the British wrestler on the British soil here. Was it Pretty Boy something or other?
Davy Boy.
That's it.
Davy?
No.
The British Bulldog.
No, there's another one on the British wrestling circuit. It was called Pretty Boy Floyd or something like that.
I don't remember him.
No.
I don't remember Pretty Boy Floyd. I remember, you know, the other lot of English wrestlers, Rollerball Rocco.
Yeah, because I actually got the series of British wrestling on DVD. Well, they put all the episodes on DVD, and World of Sport. That was it, wasn't it? Was it World of Sport?
World of Sport. Yeah.
They've got it in the bargain bin for £2.
Sorry,
you
Arthur.
You picked out the hard man of British wrestling.
Go on,
Les Kellett.
Yes. Yes, Les Kellett.
I don't remember him, but...
I do, he had an ugly face, didn't he, Arthur?
Yeah. There's a great book about him, and he was hard as nails. And nobody used to like to fight him, because if he didn't think the pit were trying hard enough, he'd actually hurt them.
Really?
You know, if they weren't doing, like, the proper job, you know, they weren't sort of, like, making it look real, he would actually hurt them.
Yeah, because after the match, 9 times out of 10, they'd sit in the bar drinking with each other, wouldn't they?
And they put the ring up and take it down again.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. He's playing... Who's that? Dickie Davis in the background?
Oh, Dickie Davis, yeah, bless
him.
He
lives out our way, mate.
Is he still with us?
Yeah, he's on a horse the other week. Why not? I'm sure it was him, anyway.
God, how old's Dickie Davis? He must be cracking on now.
With a big horse, Keith.
Yeah, he goes up Stockbridge Stables. He lives at Wallop, I think.
Do you know what? He's the same age as my mum.
What's that?
He's 1933, so that makes him 81.
Lord.
Yeah, sounds about right.
And he's still riding the horse?
He was on a horse, mate, yeah. Perhaps he was tied to it, but I don't know.
Crikey.
Going on to that band you played earlier, the Weather Kings.
Yeah.
Was it called Drinking Tea?
Sipping Tea.
Sipping Tea. Well, that reminds me, as if that thing, to me, that seems as if it started off as a jam, like Rock and Roll by Led Zepp.
Possibly, but I'll tell you what, Arthur's an expert on the Weather Kings.
He does it. He does that all the time, though, Keith.
Really?
Yeah, I sat down there with Ian a couple of years ago when we was talking about local bands, and I said to him, you're going to have to get your ear around the Weather Kings.
Yeah.
Because the bloke who sings it, he comes out wearing a full Indian headdress and just makes up the lyrics as he goes along.
Oh, what, is that ad-lib, yeah?
Well, I think he's ditched the headdress now by the sound of it, but he still makes up the lyrics as he goes along.
Good you man. Know,
the bloke playing the voice is Rafe Spencer.
Rafe Spencer, that's the guy. Yeah.
All right, yeah.
They're all three talented, really talented.
Yeah, they are, by the sound of it.
Just,
yeah.
They just sit there. Someone bangs the drums. He plays it on, and he'll make up some lyrics to go with it.
That's how music used to be, mate, wasn't it?
It's entertainment.
Not like these days where you sample a bit of this and sample a bit of that, put it on a loop, and then release it as a single.
Well, there's one important factor that's missing from all that. No bad language.
Very true, mate.
You don't need to swear to sing a song, do you?
No, that's right, mate.
And you don't need to get your bits out to sing a song either, do you?
No. Who was that? Fee Wabel. Do you remember that? Fee Wabel.
Who?
Who was he with? White Punks on Dope.
Oh, crikey, now you're going back.
Yeah, he played Southampton. He got into trouble down there for doing it naked from the down the bottom end.
Was that the Tubes?
That's it, mate. You got it. The Tubes.
Yeah, but didn't the bloke from the Doors do that once over the audience?
Yeah, mate. Yeah, you could be right. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, there was White Punks on Dope in what was it? Prime Time, Ian, wasn't it?
And TV is King.
Oh, I don't remember that one. I remember Prime Time.
TV is King was on yellow vinyl. Brilliant song. Check it out on YouTube. It's a really good song.
Yeah, going on to your other subject.
Go on.
People whose names you wouldn't shorten, before I go.
Go on.
Vincent Price. You wouldn't call him Vinny, would you?
Vinny Price.
Hey? What about Jimmy Blunt? You couldn't call him Jimmy, could you? Or Jim?
No.
It'd have to be James, wouldn't
James, it? James, yeah.
That's not his real name, you know.
Isn't it?
His name, he's a captain, I think. He's Blount. B-L-O-U-N-T.
Oh, Blount.
He's Captain
see.
Blount.
Is it pronounced Blunt or something, mate?
No, he dropped the O because he thought it sounded a bit posy.
Ah, right.
Yeah?
He's right, you know. James.
I always reckon that James Blunt should have gone on tour with Rocky Sharp. In the replays.
Was it Rocky Sharp and the Replays? Or Rocky Sharp and the Razors, was it? Was it?
Rocky Sharp and the Replays, yeah. Can
you imagine, Kate, on the poster, James Blunt and Rocky Sharp? Another one you wouldn't show him was Philip Schofield, would you? Phil Schofield. Don't sound right, do it? Anyway, mate, I'll get off and give Arthur a chance.
Thanks, you're cool.
Yeah, and it's good to hear you, Arthur. Yeah, you look after yourselves,
you wouldn't shorten Holly Willoughby either, would you?
Willie Hollaby.
Thanks, you're cool, Keith.
Yeah, tell that, people.
Cheers, there.
Yeah,
bye.
Bye.
So, Arthur, I was hoping to keep Keith on because I wanted to ask him about autobiographies as well. Do you read much?
No.
Right, okay, that's knackered that then, isn't it?
I've got the attention span of a gnat.
Yeah, see, I have as well.
If it ain't got any pictures, I can't sit and look at it.
So,
to the thought of reading pages. In fact, I can actually remember the last book I read from cover to cover.
I was going to ask you that, so what was it?
It was called The Stand.
The Stand?
Yeah, and it was by Stephen King.
Right.
And it didn't have any pictures in it.
Okay.
And it was about 2 inches thick. It took me about 2 months to get through it.
Right.
And it was. I was asked to read it, and I begrudgingly read it, and it took me ages to get. And I kept losing my page, and it goes on for. And I made a film out of it in the end, and it. You know, I don't like reading. Not like that.
Well, see, I'm not a big reader. Just hang on a sec there, Arthur. Hi, who's this?
Hi, it's Philip.
Hi, Phil. Just hang on a sec there, Phil. We've got into the old audio books just slightly, Arthur, because I'm one of the, I can't get comfortable, and when you can't get comfortable, you don't want to sit there turning pages and so on and so forth. And so I got into the old audio books, and it's such a nice way of reading a book, if you like. So I mean, maybe I'll bring up my contraption, if you pardon the expression, and I'll plug you in. I'll plug you in and give it a go.
Well, the thing is, though, with me and books, you see, I say my attention span is not great. It's like if you were sitting and watching something on it, I can't sit and watch something for hours on a telly. Even a football, I have to get up and go to the toilet, make a cup of tea. I can't sit down and watch stuff for hours on end, because if I'm immobile, I fall asleep.
Right.
You see?
I've not reached that stage yet, but I must admit, I kind of know where you're coming from, because when I'm watching football, I can't stand the talk in the middle.
Oh, the twaddle.
Oh, all that stuff. God. That just, you know, it's people's opinions. All bitter and twisted Glenn Hoddle, who no one's going to give him a job. The only job he's got is on the television spouting about football. And obviously, he don't know much about it, because otherwise he'd have a proper job, you know, teaching football and coaching. And but honestly, I'm with you.
There's only one reason to watch ITV football when they're standing on the side of the pitch, and that's the hope against hope. They're going to turn the sprinklers on while they're standing there. And the other night...
They did. And they got Adrian Charles, didn't they?
Yeah. That's the only reason to sit and watch it. There's no other reason, because you can't... They don't make any sense whatsoever.
Do you know what I did? I paused, I rewound, and watched that a few times.
Well, I don't have that facility, you see.
Anything else you wanna chuck in before we go to Phil?
Oh, just you can go to Phil. I mean, but you know, you was talking about wrestlers earlier on, American wrestlers. They call it sports entertainment now, don't they?
Yeah,
because it's not wrestling, is it? But I mean, the interesting thing, what I used to sometimes watch that when I used to watch it with the kids, was because it's when they do it wrong, and somebody does actually do themselves some damage.
Yeah,
you can normally spot it because the referee will go and ask them if they're still all right.
Yeah.
And sometimes they'll have to get them out of the ring pretty quickly. But, you know, you look at these geezers jumping around and you think to yourselves, you know, what could you pay someone to do a double back flip from the top rope onto someone on the canvas? You're running the risk of breaking your neck, aren't you?
You sure are.
And of course, the Americans love it. They all think it's real.
Not many have died in the ring, though. Most of them have died out of the ring.
That Owen Hart.
Owen Hart. He was on that some kind of wire, wasn't he, where he came in and he just... So, shut up, Phil.
Did one of the Legion of Doom die?
Do you know what?
Was it Legion of Doom?
I think you're right.
They come in with these things on their shoulders.
Yeah.
Pointy things and red and black faces. Hawk and Animal.
There's a load. I might go through the list a little bit later on.
I think one of them died. I don't know if he fell off or something or not.
Do you remember Doink the Clown? Don't you remember Doink the Clown?
I know once my son brought me round one of these things where they had there was a midget, there was a giant bloke, there was a stupid looking woman with enormous breasts and a clown. Insane Posse or something like that they were called.
That was probably Doink the Clown. And do you know what the clown's name? The small clown.
Go on.
Dink. So it was Doink and Dink the Clown. And then there was a load of others. And there was Dunk and Dank. And there was about four or five of these little clowns. And they were hilariously funny. They were really funny. But Doink the Clown sadly died last year. So many of these people that were around in the 1990s and the last 10 years are sadly gone. And they've gone very, very early. And I would imagine it's a lot of it is to do with steroid abuse.
Well, I don't know if the clowns have been wearing steroids. Certainly not the midgets, anyway.
Hey, look, thanks for your call, Arthur.
You take care.
And you. Cheers now. Bye. So, Phil, what did you want to talk about, Phil?
Well, I phoned going to go off the track for a minute. I just wanted to say tomorrow is our 25th wedding anniversary, and I just wanted to say happy anniversary to Lynn.
Oh, well done, and congratulations. That's lovely. 25 years. What are you treating her to?
Well, we're going to Bournemouth for the weekend. That's why I phoned today, because I would have phoned Andy otherwise, but she says he's gone off on the radio. Hang on, the radio, she can't hear it.
Yeah, but you're still on, so just don't worry about it. Go on, carry on.
It's been a long time. We were going to Bournemouth for the weekend, so we're booked into Premier Inn. You're going to just go have a nice chilling out weekend.
Oh, well, lovely. You have a lovely weekend. Are you taking in the show?
It's been a long time, 25 years is a long time.
Oh, tell me about it. I puff my cheeks out when the wife says we've been married 7 years next April, and I'm there going, really? So 25 years. Mind you, you still do things together, and there's a lot of love there, I'm sure,
yeah,
isn't there?
Yeah, we do a lot of things together. In some ways, I think we're quite a good match, and we clash in a few areas, so who doesn't? But, yeah, we've got a really good relationship, and hopefully we'll make a lot more.
Well, let's hope so, yeah. So, anyway...
What I mean is, if one of us snuffs it, it's like...
You're digging yourself a hole now, Phil. All right, yeah. Just have a lovely, lovely weekend. I hope you have a wonderful 25th wedding anniversary tomorrow and a great time away. Do you want to talk about? Can I ask you? Are you a book reader?
No, I hate books. I'm a browser. I get Classic Rock magazine every month, and I never read. Even that, I hardly ever read an article from start to finish. I'm a browser. I don't like reading books. I like the internet, I browse short pieces. I can't remember the last time I read a book from cover to cover.
Crikey.
I think the only time I think I did was there was the one year we were going on the holiday and for some reason we hadn't booked into a hotel. We was on an early morning flight and we arrived at Gatwick about 11 o'clock and Lynn and Alicia had a sleep. And I didn't. One of us had to stay awake to keep an eye on everything. So I even though Lynn's a night worker and I'm not normally a night person, I decided to stay awake. And I read one of the Star Trek books from front to the back. But that's the last time I read a book.
Crikey. You said it was a Star Trek book?
Yeah, one of the ones from the original series.
Right, okay. Okay, so nothing, autobiographies don't fascinate you at all?
No, not really.
Okay,
I'd rather watch a documentary on the TV. Somebody I really like, if it's a documentary about them, more like rock commentary, more like I should say. I don't want to hear a documentary about Michael Parkinson, but if it's about Jimi Hendrix or Led Zeppelin, anything, Pink Floyd, like the type of stuff you get at Sky Arts and BBC Four, that interests me.
Okay. What about wrestling?
I hate wrestling.
Look, see, he's romantic enough to... The only reason he's phoned up is to wish his wife a happy 25th wedding anniversary for tomorrow.
You were talking about something else as well as that, weren't you?
Autobiographies. I can't remember. Shortened names. Philip, where
you
were...
I was going to say about that. My mum goes nuts if anybody shortens my name. If anyone calls me Phil, she doesn't like him. One year she was coming over here and I sent the taxi bloke we used down to pick her up at the railway station and he referred to me as Phil and she went nuts about it. He told me afterwards.
See, I think that's another one of those names, isn't it? When we got Prince, we don't call him Prince Phil, we call him Prince Philip. It's one of those names. Andy is another one. There are people that they're either an Andy or an Andrew.
That's just why we haven't got a Prince Richard, isn't it? We'd be calling him Prince Dick.
Maybe. Maybe he might be King one day as well. any other names, do you think?
Should be shortened or shouldn't?
Could be people a little bit sort of don't call me.
Lynn's the other way around. Obviously, Lynn is Lynn, but she doesn't really like being called Linda. It's only her mother that really called her Linda.
What is it about mums?
Linda doesn't really like being referred to as Linda. I don't call her Linda.
What about a Pete and a Peter? That's probably they're a little bit fussy. Some people like Peter. Some people, do you know what I mean? You can see where I'm coming from on this, can't you?
Yeah, I personally, I am not bothered. If people want to call me Phil, Philip, Pyro, whatever, they can call me what they like. Rock Monster. Some people refer to me as Rock Monster now as well, of course.
Okay.
So any of them, as long as it's not rude, I don't really care what people call me.
Well, okay, Philip. we'll leave it there. Thanks for your call.
All right.
And have a lovely, lovely weekend, you and Linda.
Yeah, we all do.
You and Linda. All right.
Linda, yeah. Thank you for that.
Thanks for being there, Phil.
All right, bye.
Cheers now. Bye. So we're talking biographies, and we'll get to some biography stories in a moment. But the reason why we're having this talking about the wrestling thing was it's just kind of sad that this Sean O'Hare is a wrestler. I didn't really pay much attention to, but it just brings it home that there's a lot of these American wrestlers that have died in the name of entertainment, and a lot of these entertainers / wrestlers die because of steroid abuse, overdose, and you know, and other tragic circumstances as well. And I know that we spoke about Owen Hart. He made an entrance into a ring coming in by a high wire, and he fell off the high wire and broke his neck. And I think that's the only one that I can think of that's actually died in the ring as part of an accident. There's a lot of them that you know, a lot of it sadly is steroid abuse and so on and so forth. And there's such a long list of people, and you look at them and you think, you look so incredibly fit. They've got all the muscle, they've got the pecs, they've got all the muscle tone and so on and so forth. And you think, you know, you've got, apart from Doink the Clown, of course. And I can't believe Doink the Clown used to be so funny and such a talented wrestler. And sadly, he passed away last year. No, I don't know how he died, but maybe we'll look into it. But there's so many of them that we kind of grew up with. You know, people like the Ultimate Warrior sadly left us. I think that was earlier this year, April of this year. And how old would he have been? Probably about 50, 55. But even when he was 50, 55, the muscle tone was just incredible, and he was just incredibly fit. It's just, you know, you've got to compare the two lots of wrestlers. You had a load of English wrestlers that we probably remember from the 70s and the 80s, the early 80s, and they weren't super, super fit, but they were fit enough. I mean, obviously, there was the Giant Haystacks, and there was the Big Daddies, and there was a few other skinny wrestlers as well. But and I don't suppose they had the steroid abuse that they had in America. And it's kind of sad, and one of the reasons why I'm trying to highlight this is that we let our kids watch this, and it's kind of sad. Then most, you know, most months there's kind of a death, and they you know, they obviously pay tribute to them. And you know, our kids are watching this thinking, you know, why on earth are these blokes dying? They're so super, super fit. How much of that is rubbing off onto our kids? There's a guy that we used to follow a lot, and his name was the Bastion Booger. And he was like this massive, great big fat bloke. He was great big chubby bloke, and he used to come down with next to nothing on. And they say that he used to smell. So people, there was one guy that he used to fight, and he used to spray him with something to stop him from smelling. And I say that the list is absolutely endless. There's a bloke called Borger, Ludwig Borger. And he was 45 years old when he went. And you think, look at a picture of him. He looks so super fit. I mean, it's incredibly sad. What we'll do is we'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back with some more wrestling stories and some autobiographies as well. If you want to take part, then please give us a call, 240-666, 240-666. If you're calling from the mainland, it's 01983 240-666. Back in a wee while.
Have your say on the Isle of Wight phone-in, brought to you in association with White Fibre. It's not only super fast, it's super unlimited too. Telephone them on 01983 240 240.
If you don't know your duvet from your divan, your mattress from your memory foam, go along to Beds of Ryde at 66 Union Street in Ryde. We sell beds, bedroom furniture, dining tables and chairs. We deliver anywhere on the island for £10 or £5 if you are in the Ryde area. British made beds from an independent shop on the island. For a good night's sleep, just phone 01983 565 151. Beds of Ryde, 66 Union Street in Ryde.
Fretbuzz.net is the place to go for all the latest music reviews, news, photos and more, covering island bands to established acts from across the globe. The guys at Fretbuzz will give you their unique view on the music world. As well as music reviews, Fretbuzz now offer bands and musicians a range of promotional services, from photo shoots, video showreels to advertising and features on the site. It caters for all budgets and requirements. Just call 07576 138 337 today for more information. selection. So whatever you're looking for, visit us at fret-buzz.net for all your music needs, or find us on Facebook by searching Fret Buzz Music Reviews.
Need your appliances pack tested? Call the local experts, Westwhite Audio. Reasonable prices and all island coverage. Give Kelvin a ring on 0800 118 2484 for a no obligation chat. Email info@westwhiteaudio.co.uk or follow the link on the Vectis Radio homepage.
So how's it going on your traineeship? It's with CLC, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great. I've been there 3 months now and I love it.
But you aren't getting paid, are you?
No, but I do have free bus travel and I've just got £100 for reaching my halfway target.
Really? That's cool. Is the job hard?
No, everyone there's so cool. They treat me like the rest of the team and not like some snotty kid.
Sounds great. The training at CLC is only one day a week, isn't it? So I guess it's not too much hassle then.
Yeah, our training advisor is a great laugh and really helpful. We have touchscreen laptops too. And I finally passed my maths. Never thought I'd be able to do that.
Maybe I should give them a call. Could they help me get into hair and beauty?
Sure. CLC can find a traineeship in almost anything. And when you finish, you get an iPad mini. Why don't you call them now? It's 01983 533 993.
Whiteside. Here's how it works. You need glasses? Visit an optician, then bring your prescription along to the friendly team in Cross Street Ride. Whiteside is a boutique shop selling budget to designer frames and sunglasses. Stockists of Dior, Gucci, Dolce & Gabbana, Ray-Ban and many more. They are an independent retailer, so you can shop locally for first-class service and great glasses. You'll be spoilt for choice. Either visit them in Cross Street Ride or check out www.whiteside.co.uk.
Isle of Wight Food Bank provides emergency food and support to local people in crisis. Your support helps stop local people going hungry. For more information, ring the office on 01983 292 040 or check out isleofwightfoodbank.org.uk/.
This is Rock and Radio, the Wall of Sound.
Hi, it's the Rockmeister here. I went to see the management earlier about the BBC and ITV having iPlayers and the likes. Why can't we do the same, I asked. We do, they replied. We have the same idea with podcasts. All you have to do is go to the website at www.vectisradio.com. Click on air, then meet the presenters, then choose which presenter's show you want to hear again. Then scroll down to the bottom of their show. If the show has pods, there'll be a selection to choose from. There's even a handy button to click if you have an Apple account. Gosh, that's clever, I thought. I think we might have to call them iPodders then.
This is Vectis Radio. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/Vectis Radio.
Have your say on the Isle of Wight phone-in, brought to you in association with White Fibre. You can download all the movies, music and photos you like with no usage caps at breakneck speeds. Go to www.whitefibre.com.
OK, if you want to give us a call, you can, 240666. You can message us on our Facebook page as well. It's facebook.com/Vectis Radio. Or you can message me on my own personal page as well. We're talking about... We've got an array of stuff that we're chatting about today. One of them is the wrestlers, because this Sean O'Hare, a big boss American wrestler, only 43, has lost his life in the last 48 hours. And there's a long list of all of these people, all these wrestlers that have sadly in the last sort of 10, 15, 20 years. I mean, there is a gigantic list, and when you compare it to the English wrestling, it was, you know, it doesn't compare to the entertainment. The entertainment value is so much bigger. They've made the show so much more, and I guess there's so much pressure. But steroids have got to play a part, I'm sure. June 25th, we were talking about Chris Benoit. Now, he was a Canadian fellow, and he was about 5'5", and he was so super fit. June 25th, 2007, the police entered Benoit's home on a welfare check after several missed appointments leading to concerns. The officers discovered the bodies of Benoit, his wife, Nancy, and their 7-year-old son. And unfortunately, he had murdered them, and then he murdered himself, took his own life. It's incredibly sad, and there's so many other stories that are like this. Hi, who's this?
Hello, Jackie.
Hi, Jackie. Are you a wrestling fan?
No.
Right.
No, I don't really know why I'm phoning. No, I just thought it's so artificial and horrible and sweaty looking and ridiculous and no.
Right. Are you a book reader?
I used to be an absolute avid book reader as a little girl, and then we sort of get married, have kids, and then, you know, you don't have the time. And just recently I've started to pick up books again, and I can't get anything into anything too heavy. And to be honest, I go down to the charity shops and I buy all my books down there because they are such good value and incredible books. But you save absolutely pounds and pounds and pounds. And the last one I've just read, it's a very, I suppose it's quite silly really, it's a tiny paperback that cost me 20 pence and it was 20 short Agatha Christie stories of Miss Marple, and each story was set in a living room, someone's house, and they called themselves the Tuesday Night Club, and there were half a dozen people that would relate an incident that happened in their life, a mystery, and they would tell it, and each one would, their input would be to try and decide who actually was the murderer. And because they were very, very short stories, you actually felt that you were part of that little group sitting in the room. Very, very cleverly written. And, of course, Miss Marple solves them all because she has really a way-out sort of lateral thinking talent. And then when you think, oh, yeah, you know, but you don't realise it when you're sort of listening to the story that's been told. You think, well, you know, who did it? Or the obvious one, you think, well, they must have done it. And then suddenly it's not them, it's somebody else. But she was very, very clever at keeping your interest as well. I always think these crime writers, even in these sort of television programs, the writers, some of the stories that they kind of do are amazing, really, aren't they? To even if it's something like Midsummer Murders, there's always a twist in the plot. And I think there's a lot of talent out there, and it's quite interesting. But other than that, I don't read a huge amount.
You're right about Agatha Christie, because I'd say there's a little while ago, I think I was watching, who's that bloke with the raincoat? And can I just ask you one more question, ma'am?
Oh, Columbo.
Columbo. That must have been a very good impersonation, because I was even squinting my eye as well. But but you know who's done it from the very beginning. Everyone's got their own way of doing it, but you know who's but
yes,
it's
in some of those things, you actually see it happen on those television programmes, and then you saw how he solved it.
Exactly, but with Agatha Christie, it's always like you don't find out who it is until the very last minute, do you?
Yeah.
They've all got their own way of doing things. I want to ask you a question, because I wanted to talk about autobiographies, but not many people wanted to talk about that, or not many people are actually into it. If there was one person's life story that you could read, who you may have already done it, but who would it be?
Oh, my goodness. That's a question, isn't it? Do you know, I don't really think I know. There are so many interesting people out there.
Would you feel... I've got another question for you, because I'm good. I'm far and all these things keep popping into my head. If I was to have read Rolf Harris's book, I'd want my money back now, because he ain't told the story. I know that's really a daft thing to say, but it's almost like when somebody gives you a warts and all story, that's what you expect. Expect everything, the whole facts. I know they're not going to...
His life story now is probably now it's fiction, isn't it?
Well,
because he obviously hasn't told the truth, because he didn't. He couldn't, could he?
So have you thought of someone, you know? I was padding for time then. I thought, well, give me an option. I would imagine the Queen's read would be a good one, if she was honest.
Yeah. I quite like... I used to like Peter Ustinov.
Okay.
And he was a fascinating character, I thought. And I just wondered what kind of life he... And actually, the Fox family fascinate me, that acting dynasty... James Fox and Edward Fox and...
Lovely Amelia Fox.
Yeah, but they're all part of the same. They are. And Lawrence Fox is in Lewis.
Well, I read Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Yeah. I don't know. There are so many, I don't know, political... Boris Johnson. Now, he's the man to go in and sort out Scotland, isn't he? Send in Boris, I reckon.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Certainly not Cameron and Clegg and Ed Miliband. For sure.
Cameron was quite Did you see him yesterday when he was saying, if you don't like the effing Tories, kick us out?
Right, fair enough.
Did you not see that?
We'll do that next year then.
Well, that's what he was saying to the when he was saying, don't break the union up.
That's not going to go down very well.
Because in 5 years' time, it's not a general election. You can't change things. He said, in 5 years' time, he said, if you don't like us effing Tories, he said, you can kick us out.
Fair enough.
But if he said, you can't do that. If you vote yes, you can't do that in 5 years' time. It's forever.
Yeah, no, that's true. He's got. I don't know whether they're being just clever enough just to make it look like that they really care. Because I still have this theory of if Scotland vote yes, then there's an awful lot of people that are in Scotland that kind of vote Labour, and they're going to lose those Labour voters. So I'm guessing that the Tories will be rubbing their hands.
I'm not sure. Obviously, it's a vote for the Scottish people in Scotland. What about, is it just for the Scots, or is it for anybody who lives in Scotland?
I think it's for the people of Scotland that actually live there, yeah.
So, like, J.K. Rowling lives in Scotland, doesn't she? But she's in the no camp, isn't she? But she's not Scottish, is she? But what about the Scots who live south of the border? Do they not have a say?
Only if they go home.
Oh, right.
Only if they actually live there. So, you know, just say, for instance, if they got a registered address up there, they have to go home and vote, I believe.
Oh, right.
I'm not 100% sure on it.
Yeah.
It's a fascinating question, though, and it needs answering. But I would imagine there's a number of people that I know that have gone from the Isle of Wight because they are Scottish, and they've gone up there not just to vote, but they've also gone up there to campaign as well.
Mm.
So I would imagine they're getting a vote, and maybe all they've got to do is register at some house.
And I'm not 100%... certain that giving the 16-year-olds is a good idea, the vote, because a lot of 16-year-olds are very with it and are very sort of politically aware, but an awful lot of them aren't. And I kind of think they might be a vote that, you know, could be easily swayed without giving it a lot of thought, because how can they at 16 have had any kind of in-depth knowledge of what the implications might mean for them if it's a yes or a no?
There's some 30-year-olds and older that don't have the knowledge. The way I look at it is, if you are 16 and left school and earning money and paying tax, I think you should get the vote.
Yeah, I don't know. It is so very, very young, isn't it? And I'm a lot of 16-year-olds, I mean, there are an awful lot that are very, very interested in the political world, but there must be absolutely thousands of them that aren't and have no idea of you know, what it all means, and that would be like a careless vote almost, wouldn't it? But I suppose, you know, it's democracy, isn't it? So you've got to... I don't know. Do you have a feeling of which way it'll go?
I do. I think they'll vote yes.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. I've got a feeling they'll vote yes, and I don't really have a problem with 16-year-olds having the vote, and I bet you there's as many people out there of you know, older years and should be more wiser, and they've got less of an interest.
Yeah, they don't know either. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, but then, when you think that you've got two people stood on a podium and they ask a question and they both answer it differently, it comes down to what you believe, doesn't it?
Down to what you believe, and it's also down to what you actually want to happen, or, you know, how they can see their country going. I mean, I wouldn't, to be honest, if I was asked to vote, I wouldn't know. If I'm completely honest, I wouldn't really know which way to go.
So maybe they should say people approaching 70, they shouldn't get the vote either, and give it to 16-year-olds, because they're a little bit more switched on.
Yeah.
They're the future.
Yes, absolutely.
Hey, look, Jackie, it's fascinating to talk to you, and thanks for your call.
Okie dokie.
Take care.
Bye.
Okay, if you want to give us a call, 240666, 240666. My old mate Andy Knight is just coming. We're going to drag him into the studio in a minute, because I'm going to ask him a few questions, because he looks like a man that's read a few books in his life. And I've got a list of books here. Now, the reason why I posted this on my Facebook page a little while ago was purely and simply because I've joined up with Audible. And I think they're a branch of Amazon. Now, I'm not a big reader, because I'm one of those guys that can only relax enough to, you know, in the sunshine. I can't sit down, and because it almost like you feels like you're doing nothing. But if you're like led down in the garden and you're working on your tan, that to me is work. you know, because you're working on your tan. And that's the only time that I can, you know, plug myself in and listen to either music or, you know, in the last couple of months, it's been a book, an audio book. So we've joined this Audible thing. You pay $7.99 and you get your audio books. And I've done Red Rod Stewart, if that's the correct term, you've read Rod Stewart. And Danny Baker's an excellent read. I can highly recommend that. And I was after a recommendation the other day, so we put this message on Facebook. And Tim, I think Tim Morris wants to get involved with this now, because it is it's a brilliant way of reading, if you like. You're not reading, but you are. And you don't have to keep turning the pages. And I don't know, that sounds like, oh crikey, you're moaning about turning the page, but it's getting comfortable and so on and so forth. You can just lay there in the sun and not move for an hour and just listen to someone else read to you. Just the book that I got the other day, no one recommended it, but I'm about sort of a third of the way through, and it really is a good read or a good listen. It's a David Essex autobiography, where it starts in 1947 when he was born, a few years after the war, and it's just got this incredible story at the start of his life. And I'm up to the 1970s period, where he's just about to become very, very famous. But I think I've hooked Tim Morris into this as well, because he's asking the question, how much is it, Ian? I could do with audiobooks when I go on dialysis. Tim, you would absolutely love it, and it's $7.99, and you can then go and get a book for $15.99, but you pay $7.99, but you only get one of those once a month. Sean Matthews has said, what about Hitch 22? Well, I've got to be honest with you, it means nothing to me, Hitch 22, but I do know that Sean is quite an intelligent geezer, so I would imagine that book might be above me. My brother in Sheffield got in touch, and he said, what about Mahatma Gandhi, the biography, the only true man of peace? Do you know what? I mean, so far, bearing in mind, I've heard the David Essex and Rod Stewart and Danny Baker. That's a good read as well. We're going to see in a sieve. It's a great title for a book too. And then you think Mahatma Gandhi. I don't think that's going to fit in well with my with the books that I've read so far. Although, having said that, I would love to be able to give it a go. Sue Grant's been in touch. She said, I read Stephen Fry's recently. That was good. Now, are you saying that you read it? Because I want to know what the term is. When you listen to an audiobook, do you read it? Because I don't think you can physically say that you read it. But, you know, I kind of... It's easier to say that you've read those books rather than listen to. Also, Mandela's Long Walk is good too, says Sue. I haven't read this, but I have it to read on my Kindle. American Sniper, the autobiography of the most lethal sniper in the US military history. I am certain it's available on audio, Audible too. David J. Furness says Martin Johnson or Graham Thorpe. That was they were excellent. Now, Martin Johnson, I believe, is the... wasn't he the England captain, the rugby England captain, when we won the Rugby World Cup back in the 90s? I've got a funny feeling it is. And also Graham Thorpe. I've got no idea who Graham... I think he sounds like a cricketer, doesn't he? I might be wrong. Martin Pidworth says Tony Lomme, Black Sabbath, a really, really good read. And my old mate Sam's been in touch, said I Partridge by Alan Partridge. I've got to be honest with you, I'm not really an Alan Partridge fan. He doesn't do it for me. What else have we got here? Meatloaf. Maggie Curry says Meatloaf was a really, really good read, because I would imagine he's a really, really interesting character. Marvin Lee Aday was his real name, if my memory serves me rightly. Adamant says Tim Morris. Stand and Deliver. Do you know what, Tim? I've got to be honest with you. I tried to get that on audio and I couldn't find it anywhere. I think he's probably got a really, really good story to tell. I do know that he suffered from bipolar, and there's a lovely story about him when he first started and first started going on stage, because he was very, I think he was either long-sighted or short-sighted. He had to wear these, not glasses, but, you know, those other little sticky things you put in, you know, contacts. And he struggled with stages. Struggled with going on stages. So I would imagine, put that with the bipolar story as well, and I would imagine that's a really, really good read. So I'll look for it next month. Carmel says, Tim, wonderful man. What Tim said, Ian, wonderful man. David Jason says Angela McCurtry. I read that earlier on, actually physically read it, turned the pages and everything. It was winter time, and I had to, you know, really physically struggle to sit down and turn the pages. But I did it. It was a really, really good read and an interesting man. But the only thing was, he spent too long on his childhood, and you got three quarters of the way through the book before he actually got on to Del Boy and the stuff that he did in the 1970s. This Boy by Alan Johnson, says Mick Lyons. It's the best book I've read recently. Alan Johnson, I believe, was the minister, wasn't he? He was the Labour minister that his wife was having an affair with the copper that was looking after them. I think that's the story. Alan Johnson came down to the Isle of Wight and he met with a team of people, myself included. And I remember sitting there with some Liberal councillors back in the 1990s. I'll tell a lie, it was about 2001. He came down because we wanted the independence for the Isle of Wight, and we went up with 21,000 signatures, gave them to Tony Blair. He then sent Alan Johnson down, and I remember standing in a room with all these councillors. They were Liberal councillors, and they were all sort of toadying up to Alan Johnson, and I said, I'm sick of all this nonsense, all these people, you know, crawling around you. Are we going to get an independence, and how do we go about it? And his exact term of phrase was, no, you're never going to get independence, but if you ever wanted to talk about the a fixed link, then I think the government would listen. Anyway, I spent another 5 minutes in the room and disappeared. Lisa Burt says, I agree with Angela. David Jason was a fantastic read. Beck says, Johnny Vegas was really good as well. Now, Johnny Vegas is a fascinating character because not only is he incredibly funny, he's got a really, really good story to tell. And I know he had problems with his weight and his mum and so on and so forth. So I'm going to add that to the list as well, Johnny Vegas. And Tom Baker's autobiography says, The Tap in Sandown. Look, it's 2 minutes to one. We got to go. I didn't even get a chance to get Andy Knight in and talk about his favourite books, but he's got 3 hours. He's here for 3 hours. He'll tell you all about his favourite books. He might even talk about wrestling, but I'll tell you what, I don't think he's probably into the old wrestling. We'll see in a minute. I'll grab hold of him and put him in one of those locks and see if he can get out of it. Anyway, Andy's on the way. Thanks very much for your messages and your calls and everything. We'll be back on Monday with another phone in.